You're listening to The Source News on 4EB Global Digital.
For news you need to know, listen to The Source News every Tuesday and Thursday at 5pm.
The Source News, for your local news in and around Brisbane and the Gold Coast.
It's just gone 4 o'clock and I'm Aisha Isabella.
And I'm Dina Getova.
Coming up on today's show,
we preview tomorrow's climate strikes taking place in Brisbane.
The return of the Screen Forever Film Festival and what it means for the coast.
The latest on the bushfire crisis still ravaging the Gold Coast hinterland.
And a current Griffith University student is running for council in next year's election.
But first, Isabel Croker has the headlines.
It's just gone 4 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Isabel Croker. Two people have been arrested over the murder of a woman whose body was found wrapped in plastic in a creek on the New South Wales mid-north coast. Danielle Easy's remains were discovered near Newcastle on August 31st. Police tracked down a 33-year-old man in Port Macquarie and a 32-year-old woman in Newcastle just after lunch. Detectives are searching for gang members responsible for an alleged violent homophobic attack at Westfield Coomera on Tuesday. A 21-year-old man and his younger brother were injured when up to 10 teenagers bashed them. Two teens were charged last night over the violent assault, but police are calling for anyone with information to come forward. Sanctuary Cove Marina's new $8 million expansion has been unveiled today, which includes Australia's first covered berths. The development will increase the number of boats able to dock to over 300. Work has already begun on the upgrade and it's expected to be completed by April. The federal government's budget deficit is smaller than expected at $690 million. A $4.2 billion deficit was predicted for the year to June. Treasurer Josh Frydenberg says Australia had a year of strong economic growth and a $13.8 billion improvement in cash balance. President Trump has ordered new sanctions on Iran following the attack on Saudi Arabian oil facilities. Trump tweeted about it with more details expected within the next 48 hours. Iran is being blamed for the attack, with Saudi Arabia's defense ministry showing off wreckage of Iranian drones and missiles in a press conference today. Viewers will find out which lucky lady has stolen Bachelor Matt Agnew's heart in the season finale tonight. He will choose between Chelsea McLeod and Abby Chatfield, with the show to air from 7:30 on 10. Almost half of all Australians are expected to have a ticket for the biggest lottery prize draw in Aussie history tonight. The chance of winning the $150 million prize is about 1 in 11 million with a 12-game entry. To the sport now. The Melbourne Storm will be playing without star Brandon Smith, who is out with the flu, in their must-win finals clash against Parramatta tomorrow night. The Wallabies team has been announced for Saturday's Rugby World Cup opener against Fiji, with captain Michael Hooper starring with David Powick in the back row. It's up to 26 and mostly sunny today. Partly cloudy tomorrow with a chance of a shower. It's going to be a beautiful weekend with a max of 27 and a shower or two on Saturday. Right now, it is sitting at around 21 degrees at the Seaway.
Climate strikes are taking place across the globe tomorrow, including one at Victoria's Park in Broad Beach and another at Queen's Gardens in Brisbane. Tens of thousands of Australians are expected to take time off school and work to march for greater governmental action towards climate change. Charlotte Brennan reports.
Students worldwide are leading the climate strike, calling for governments to commit to no new coal, oil and gas projects or new jobs for all workers in the fossil fuel industry. They're also asking for 100% renewable energy by 2030. Workers and students will ditch responsibilities to participate in the world's largest ever climate protest, which is even larger than a demonstration in March where 1.6 million people took part. The rally is happening just 3 days out from the UN Climate Emergency Summit in New York, where world leaders will discuss a new plan of action for climate change. Joining the strike is Year 12 student Megan Gardner from Brisbane's Kenmore State High School, who says governmental inaction is causing students to take matters into their own hands.
I'm striking because we have a deficit of climate leadership in this country, so on Friday, we're creating our own.
Rose Adams from the Gecko Environmental Council says her organisation aims to support young people who are driving the movement worldwide.
The prime purpose of having these protests around the world is to show the leaders, the world leaders meeting at the UN summit, that people across the world, particularly young people, are really concerned about their future in the face of advancing climate change, and we want some real action.
She says protests come at a time when the Gold Coast is already seeing the effects of climate change.
We can see it particularly in our alpine regions, the Springbrook. It's slowly drying out. The aquifers are drying up. Species are becoming rarer and harder to find. Extreme weather events will become more severe. Summers will be longer and hotter and drier, and the risk of bushfires increases with that.
Charlotte Brennan for The Source News.
The state government is planning to introduce a new bill for a partial public holiday on Christmas Eve. Kira Whitehand reports.
The Palaszczuk government will introduce the new legislation for a six-hour public holiday on Christmas Eve starting from 6 p.m. this year. Today, the Industrial Relations Minister Grace Grace announced the legislation will be put before Parliament. She also highlighted various reasons behind the decision, including the significance of the day.
The night before Christmas has become as important to families as the day itself. It's a very special time of year for families and friends, as well as community and churches, to come together.
Ms. Grace says they have received a total of 1,779 submissions from the public, with 72% in favour of the proposed holiday. For the remaining 28%, the main reason for opposing is cost. CEO of the National Retail Association, Dominic Lamb, says this is already a difficult time for small businesses, and they're disappointed with the government's lack of sincere consultation with industry.
The major concern is during this period, there are a number of public holidays that all fall within a certain period, and small and medium-sized businesses are simply saying to us that it is a very difficult period for them to trade. It's absolutely very costly, and it's really going to impact on their businesses this year, and so it is certainly going to have probably a negative impact on our industry.
Kira Whitehand for The Source News.
It's already been a disastrous start to bushfire seasons, and experts are warning the threat of an active storm season could spark more blazes. Mary Holiday reports.
Dry and windy storm conditions are said to increase fire danger in Queensland by fanning the flames of current bushfires and potentially igniting new ones. Superintendent James Haig from Queensland Fire and Emergency Services says locals should be prepared as weather conditions are causing bushfire flames to move faster.
Bushfires move very quickly. Last year, many people, I think, were surprised by how quickly the bushfires in Queensland moved last bushfire season. So we're suggesting you get well planned in advance, because it's hard to make good decisions in stressful situations which are moving quickly.
Meteorologists say dry and gusty thunderstorm forecasts to sweep through southeast Queensland will have lots of lightning and little rain. With over 40 fires still burning across the state, high temperatures and erratic winds will intensify cloud-to-ground lightning that may potentially increase this number. As firefighting conditions remain volatile, all southeast Queenslanders should be prepared by visiting the Queensland Fire and Emergency Services website for safety and survival tips. In the meantime, fire officials say that people can do little things to help and ensure their safety.
People need to plan for what they might do with their pets and think about what other things they might take with them. Also, by planning in advance, you can take some simple actions to protect your home, like cleaning the gutters and cleaning up around your house. And these are things that help you even if you don't get a bushfire, but you get a severe storm. There is no downside to doing those things.
Mary Holiday for The Source News.
Abandoned fishing lines are causing major concerns for marine life, as 29% of lines are lost each year. Taylor Gray reports.
Neglected fishing lines, known as ghost fishing nets, are becoming a major concern as marine life are becoming entangled and are ingesting them. Fishing lines wind up on coastal beaches, causing destruction to native habitats and coastal environments. It is estimated that around 640,000 tons of abandoned fishing gear is left in the ocean every year, trapping animals as large as whales and turtles, causing them long and painful deaths. Campaign manager Julie Marto from the Australian Marine Conservation Society says ghost fishing is a real issue in Australia.
And they sadly find a lot of things like turtle skeletons from turtles that have been captured in ghost fishing nets. It's a real issue in the oceans. It's an issue around Australia and internationally.
Julie says ghost fishing is an issue the fishing industry needs to sort out.
There needs to be better net design to make sure that when there are things like big winds or big waves, fishing nets don't just get ripped away and left. But it's also a stewardship issue. The fishing industry, both nationally and internationally, need to be responsible for the gear that they use to make their living.
Taylor Gray for The Source News.
The local government election is set for March 2020, and Gold Coast locals have the opportunity to stand as a councillor or mayor, just like Griffith University student Zach Rivera. Rosie Ball reports.
The Gold Coast council election is less than a year away, and candidates are already preparing their campaigns, including Griffith University student Zach Rivera, who is keen to put the community first. Councillors and local universities are encouraging the city's youth to give back to their region. Zach believed Division 12 needs a shake-up and is keen to run as an independent candidate next year.
I remain passionate about one thing, and that's community. I believe that a strong local economy can only thrive with a strong local community, and I believe that our past will guide us into a greater future. And these are two major things that I think are being left behind currently in council's decisions. And so I made the decision to run because I want to stand up for the character of our division. I want to stand up for our local businesses, and I want to stand up for this community, including its beaches, to say it's time to stop talking and start listening.
Griffith University Head of Corporate Governance, Michelle Britton, says it's important for students to get involved in the local community and is proud to see students like Zach getting involved.
And if you've had students succeed, try, try again. If he's successful, well done. And if he's not successful this time, keep trying to get your generation in there making decisions and talking about the important issues for you.
Anyone can stand for election as a councillor or mayor, providing you are 18 and an Australian citizen residing in the local government area. If you have a passion for change and the local community, head to www.ecq.qld.gov.au. Check out Zach's campaign on Facebook. Head to Revere Div 12 candidate. Rosie Ball, The Source News.
A new report shows a quarter of young adults and students suffer from loneliness, and more than half of young Australians rated their mental health as poor or fair. Liv Einemo reports.
A new report from the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare reveals that one in four Australians suffer from loneliness, especially young adults and students. Also, a national report by Headspace showed that close to 70% of young adults and students rated their mental health as either poor or fair. The most common issues are stress and feeling anxious. 19-year-old Alex McKenna has suffered with mental health issues since high school.
It's really genetic in my family. We've got a big history of depression on one side and anxiety on the other. So I happened to get the short end of the stick and I got both.
Alex McKenna says everyone should take actions on their mental health issues to improve their lives.
I see psychologists. I take antidepressants, and it's just really, it's really helpful, and I think it's really important that people who are struggling seek help, because it really does change your life for the better.
As a result of mental health issues, over 35% of young adults and students experience thoughts about self-harm or suicide. After being overwhelmed by lots of work, university stress, and personal issues, 24-year-old Hayden Wayne recently attempted to take his own life.
So in August of this year, I actually made an attempt to take my own life, and that was when I kind of realized that I needed to seek help and address those issues, and obviously I found that really hard.
He says everyone struggling with mental health issues should take a step back and seek help.
When you're struggling, you know, you feel so alone, but I think you just need to be honest with yourself about what's going on, because once you sort of do that, that's when you can go and help yourself.
If you or someone you know are struggling with mental health issues, help is always available. Contact Lifeline on 13 11 14. Liv Einemo for The Source News.
Men, women and children will join together in stride at Broad Beach this Saturday to support, unite, celebrate and remember those affected by women's cancer. Olivia Siva reports.
This Saturday, the Broadbeach beachfront will see crowds of people dressed in pink with the annual Walk for Women's Cancer starting at 8 a.m. The event is a family-friendly, fun walk for participants of all abilities. Funds raised will go towards Cancer Council Queensland's research for life-saving treatments and support programs for women affected by cancer. Cancer Council CEO Chris McMillan was not available for interview, but in a written statement says she's calling on Gold Coast locals to join the event and help make this year's Walk for Women's Cancer a memorable one. Gold Coast local and event participant Donovan Hall says it's important that the community joins together to walk towards a cure.
I think it's just important for us Gold Coast locals to get involved in the walk and get as many people that are close to us as possible to do the walk and raise awareness and help women into the future.
According to the Cancer Council Queensland, around 4,310 Queensland women will be diagnosed with breast or gynecological cancer this year, and 1 in 6 Queensland women will be diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime. Mr. Hall says these statistics should encourage locals to participate.
I've lost quite a few people in my life to women's cancer. The most recent was my gran. And I just think women's cancer is like the most daunting and scary thing, and it's even more intimidating than its reality for a lot of people.
He also says the community can walk for a brighter future.
Well, we are lucky enough to have a lot of treatments and screenings that can help prevent cancer if it's caught early. But I think just participating in fundraising events like the Women's Walk for Cancer can help fund research into the future and help us develop more ways and support people currently suffering.
Miss McMillan encouraged locals to gather friends and family, dress up in pink and walk to give hope to all Queensland women affected by cancer. Registrations for this Saturday's Gold Coast Walk for Women's Cancer are available on the day. Olivia Seaver for The Source News.
Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk has announced the Gold Coast will host the nation's biggest film conference, Screen Forever, from November next year. Elizabeth Foster reports.
After already snatching the Logies from Victoria, the Gold Coast has managed to bag itself Australia's premier film conference, Screen Forever. The conference gives local and international industry professionals a chance to showcase their talents and is a great opportunity to meet with people in the industry. The CEO of Screen Producers Australia, Matt Diener, believes the Gold Coast has a large amount of potential for film production, encouraging locals interested in the industry to come along.
I think every part of the industry should be interested in thinking about this conference and the outcomes associated with it. We deliberately make it a conference that any part of the sector should be involved in. So if you're a budding actor or writer or director, this is a really interesting opportunity for you to be in front of production businesses and ultimately decision makers that will help further your career.
Managing Director of Vox Talent Agency, Lamar Brown has over 30 years of acting experience and has seen the Gold Coast film industry grow firsthand thanks to support from the Queensland government.
Then I give Anastasia Palaszczuk most of the credit for reinvigorating the movie sector in Queensland. I mean, the Gold Coast does normally around 75% of the movies in Queensland, and she has attracted much more interest within the industry here. So I think it's a wonderful thing.
Elizabeth Foster for The Source News.
Plans are being made to change the deferral period of blood donations for gay men. Alex McKenna reports.
Gay men are being denied the ability to donate blood because of a deferral. Prior to donating blood, all donors have to go through a health history screening test. Male donors are questioned about their sexual history with men in the last 12 months, including oral and anal sex with or without protection. If this is the case, the individual will be unable to donate blood for the next year. This period of 12 months was put in place gradually throughout Australia, starting in 1996. After the AIDS crisis in Australia, in 1982, the deferral was put in place because homosexual men were more at risk. Testing for HIV and AIDS first became possible in 1985 and could take up to 12 weeks to show a positive result. Research suggests the period of time required to detect the infection is far shorter in current years. Convener of the New South Wales Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, James Bolster, says the rules surrounding blood donations can be seen as discriminatory.
I think it's more than anything a level of discrimination that reflects fears that were existing at the time that HIV came to prominence, and it's the type of discrimination that we need to leave with the past. It's something that's historical, it's no longer needed, and to remove it I think would be a great benefit not only to donations, which may increase by some amount, but also just at a level of discrimination, reducing the impact on gays and bisexual men in particular.
Due to this unnecessary deferral period, many potential blood donors are being denied the ability to donate blood. Around 1 in 3 Australians need blood, and only 1 in 30 donate each year. Men who participate in homosexual acts believe these rules are both unfair and overall unnecessary. A member of the LGBT community in Brisbane, Lewis Lowing, says the rules are not as effective today due to the way sex has evolved since the rules were in place.
The reason I think it shouldn't be a thing is because
existing reason they have it is gays are more susceptible to STD due to the fact that anal sex is one of the highest things to cause it. But the problem with that as well is straight couples have anal sex as well.
The American LGBT community has similar views and similar restrictions. Drew Hoffman lives in the United States and feels these restrictions are unfair. He says it can be embarrassing for those who have to go through the process of donating blood.
I personally feel like it shouldn't be banned. As a young gay or bisexual man, the first time anyone tries to donate blood has to be embarrassing and slightly a confusing experience. And as you go through all the screening forms, and everything seems normal until you stumble upon a question on whether you have sex with another man in the past 12 months. And a few questions run through your head. Why do they need to know? Why does it matter? Isn't this homophobic?
Australians need more than 29,000 donations every week, so having more potential donors would benefit us. Alex McKenna for The Source News.
Media Diversity Australia will start connecting journalists and newsrooms from different backgrounds on the Gold Coast. Alex Wu reports.
The non-profit organisation Media Diversity Australia is conducting empirical research about ethnic and cultural diversity in Australian media. The organisation wants more journalists and media workers from different backgrounds to connect with each other to promote the diversity of media in Australia. Inclusion and Equity Officer Faith Valencia Forrester says media diversity in Australia is important.
I think it's important to have a diverse range of views, and promoting journalists from different cultural backgrounds and ensuring that they have a place in Australia's newsroom is very important, because they've got those connections to those different communities, and they're also able to bring a different perspective, an inside perspective and understanding to those stories.
To reach this goal, Media Diversity Australia will create a Christmas event and invite journalists next December in the Gold Coast. Higher Education and Industry Coordinator Eduardo Jordan says this event will help them on their aim.
The state is so big, and we need to start expanding on our networking events. So as part of our expansion, we would like to create a networking event for journalists and media practitioners around the Gold Coast.
The event is for journalists to communicate and share working experience with each other. They will also provide workshops to take further steps with media diversity in Australia. The organization will launch a disability report book in November to guide journalists on how to interview people with disabilities. Media Diversity Australia wants to expand their work across the state. Alex Wu for The Source News.
Queensland is celebrating Disability Action Week later this month, with its primary focus on helping people gain employment this year. Dwani Chandra reports.
The Queensland Government is urging local communities to support and empower people with disabilities in light of Disability Action Week. Held in Queensland every year, this week aims to support and empower people with disabilities, improve their access throughout the whole community, and raise further awareness. The week also focuses on creating and boosting employment opportunities for them across the state. Minister for Disability Services Coralie O'Rourke says some Queenslanders face barriers in gaining employment and are unemployed or have very limited opportunities for career progression due to their disabilities. She also says her team is committed to creating thriving communities where all Queenslanders can be resilient and enjoy their social and economic well-being regardless of their abilities. Gold Coast resident Naman Bhardwaj, who has been a social worker for 5 months, says he supports the minister's decision and shares his thoughts on it.
After having worked with so many wonderful people through what I do, well, I can say that they are part of a community as much as the rest of us are, and shouldn't be denied any work opportunities. If anything, they contribute to the society more than we do, and I think it's high time people start noticing that.
Queensland continues to honour this important week on its fifth day, hoping for residents to create more work opportunities and make their workplace welcoming for people with disabilities.
In the virtual world of video games, loot boxes and microtransactions are highly controversial amongst gamers and parents. Hayden Evans reports.
Loot boxes and microtransactions present in many modern video games have been causing controversy since Electronic Arts released Star Wars Battlefront 2 back in 2017. You'll find this virtual content that you can purchase with real money in games such as Fortnite, Apex Legends, Overwatch, Call of Duty, Crash Team Racing, and FIFA. Gold Coast father of two, Stephen French, is concerned about the content his two sons, aged 14 and 11, are being exposed to.
My issue for the fact as well that I have one kid who's autistic and I have another child who's kind of on the spectrum as well. So we need to kind of monitor the content that they are playing because it can lead to all sorts of behavioural issues.
Mr. French lost close to $1,000 after his sons used his credit card information without his consent to purchase additional microtransactions. He says there needs to be more safeguards and warnings to help parents who at first may not understand or be aware of the type of content available in certain games.
At first, if you don't understand it, it's quite a task to get your head around it. So it took me a while to figure out what a skin was, and the battle passes I picked up pretty quick. But it's just the other thing, because I've been burnt twice in regards to the kids actually using my credit card without my consent in order to buy these items. So I suppose if there was another way to maybe safeguard that would be a little bit helpful.
Senior lecturer of psychology at Tasmania University, Dr. James Sayer, has been playing video games since the late 80s, and he has seen how rapidly the industry has expanded since first picking up a controller for the Sega Master System 2. He says monetization methods used by video game publishers and developers, such as randomized loot boxes, are psychologically comparable to gambling and should be regulated.
If we want people to take individual responsibility, then we have to be open with the people about what's in the games. One aspect that we've kind of proposed that would be a sort of a suitable form of regulation would be have content warnings. You know, we have content warnings about violence or adult themes. If there are mechanisms in there that we believe are sufficiently similar to gambling, let's just warn consumers. Let's put some information on the packets at the point of sale so that adults who are buying the games for themselves or adults who are buying games for their children can make an informed decision about whether or not this is game content that they want their kids to engage with.
Clinical psychologist at Benchmark Psychology, Dr. Tanya McMahon, believes microtransactions are just one of many strong factors contributing to gaming addiction. Dr. McMahon, who plays games whenever she manages to find the time, says more can be done to help combat the problem.
There's a much bigger systemic problem with the whole sort of tech industry where they have some responsibility or should have some responsibility to design ethically and, you know, not have these things hiding in there, you know, from the get-go, or being more transparent about them at least. So I hate putting it on parents, but having said that, that's kind of my job as well, is I get people coming to me and they're like, what do we do? And in the absence of this, you know, the system changing, yeah, I do have to give them sort of suggestions. And I definitely suggest parents find out what their kids are playing. Use a trusted source like Common Sense Media to find out about the game, because it's impossible to keep across all the new things coming out, you know, as a parent, keeping, you know, up to speed with what's in the games and the mechanics of them. And so finding a trusted source like Common Sense Media who compile all that information so that they can kind of look up that game and find out about it, because they will usually flag whether there is simulated gambling in some of the games.
Hayden Evans for The Source News.
Popular German festival Oktoberfest is coming to the Gold Coast this year. Tiani Reid reports.
The Gold Coast will soon get a taste of German culture, celebrating Oktoberfest for the first time this October. The event will be held at the Gold Coast Sports Precinct in Carrara, with many locals dressing up in Bavarian costume for the occasion. The festival will spot around 15,000 litres of beer, along with many traditional foods and activities. Event organiser and operator Todd Forrest says it is important to bring German culture to the Gold Coast.
We try and keep all our food very traditional, so we don't serve pizzas and Thai at our Oktoberfest. We really try and stay as traditional as we can with our food and drinks. It's heritage and tradition, so that's why all our beers are German.
Local resident Adam Crichton is looking forward to attending the event on the Gold Coast this year.
I've been to Oktoberfest in Germany, in Munich, and that was really fun. It was a huge festival, and hopefully it's something similar to that. I've got a group of mates that are going, so we're all going together. We're going to dress up in stupid costumes and, you know, have a few beers and get a bit silly.
The event will be held on Saturday, October the 5th, and tickets can be purchased either online or at the door. Tiani Reid, The Source News.
That's all we have time for today on The Source News. I'm Aisha Isabella.
And I'm Dina Getova. Have a great evening.